Do you want to be great? I think at school, every schoolboy has his heroes. He wants to be like one of those. Maybe to be Didier Drogba, and we see his photo everywhere. To be famous, to be rich, to be talented, or to be powerful. To be the minister, to be the MP, to be having many servants following. Or even if you've become an adult and you know you'll never become any of those things. Yet, to rise higher, to become the boss, to have servants, to get money, to get land. How can you be truly great? Because actually, the Bible's teaching about greatness is not that. It's something quite different. And this passage tells us. That's actually one of Jesus' themes in the next two chapters of our study of Mark's Gospel. But first, we're to look at verses 30, 31 and 32. Because again, Jesus teaches us what his way was to be. His way. And jia ya umsalaba. Welisafiri through Galilee. Galilee, you know, is up in the north of Israel. And it says they were going there kind of secretly. It says, verse 30, Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were. Because, verse 31, Ali fundisha wanafunzi waki. It was secret teaching for the disciples. If you wanted to do something great in Kenya, surely you'd go down to Nairobi. You wouldn't go and do something up in Turkana. But that's what Jesus was doing. He took his own disciples. Jesus loves his own disciples. And he takes them and he teaches them. He teaches them the things the world will never know, will never understand. And the great subject of his teaching is in verse 31. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him. After 3 days, he will rise. The great subject of Jesus' teaching was his own mission, his own rejection, his sufferings, his death, and his resurrection. And Mark has been very consistent, showing you the same things again and again. We had half the book showing us who Jesus is. That he is the Christ. Yeye ni mwana wa Mungu ya kweli. And now he's showing us the work of the Christ. What kind of Messiah? What has he come to do? He's not a Messiah who's come to bring glory in this age. Not come to bring his heavenly glory that we can see and touch and taste and enjoy now. Though we taste this a little inwardly. But his kingdom is not of this world. He's come to be rejected, to suffer, and to die. And this is the same thing we find taught in every part of the scriptures. The apostle Paul, he told the Corinthians, he said, brothers, when I came to you, I did not come with great wisdom, with great speech, when I told you the testimony about God. When I came amongst you, I was determined to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Two things. Jesus the Christ crucified. The person of the Saviour and the work of the Saviour. Do you know what true Christianity is? Do you really know? If I said to you, tell me your Christianity, would you say, oh really, there's only two things, Pastor. There's Jesus, the Son of God. And there's what he did when he died and rose again for me. Those, that is the sum of my Christianity. To know Christ and to know what he did for me. Jesus' whole reason for coming was to die. So verse 31, how many times have we had this? This is the third time now that Jesus has been teaching it. If we go to chapter 8, verse 31, he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, must be rejected by the priests and elders, and must be killed after 3 days, rise again. Chapter 9, verse 12. What is it written about the Son of Man? That he must suffer much and be rejected. And now the third time. Christian teaching is always drawing us to the cross. Because on the cross, Jesus made the atonement for our sins. On the cross, Jesus paid the price for the sins of the world. And there is no other. What will you bring to God? If there was something you could bring to God, why would his own son need to be offered up? If you could offer something, why would he offer him to that horrible death? But here there is atonement. That's why Christianity is true. You know, in the Muslim religion, there's no atonement. There's no great offering to take away your sins. For the Hindus and the Baha'i, there's no great offering. There's nothing, no price to take away your sins. But we keep preaching the cross of Jesus because there's a full, perfect, complete price once and forever. And we say, hallelujah. Now, I ask you, is that your Christianity? Jesus Christ and him crucified. Is that your hope for heaven? When we say, how will you get into heaven? Will you say, the cross of Jesus Christ? Or will you say something else? You'll say, I'm bringing God my life. It's a good life, you know. I've really tried. I've really tried to turn away from my sins. I'm really trying to do good now. Surely God can take that. No, true Christianity is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Bible study last Wednesday, we took that verse in Galatians. May I never boast except in the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus had many discouragements as he preached the cross to his disciples. The first time, you remember, Peter rebuked him. He said, never, Lord, this cannot be. The second time, as he talked about rising from the dead, they didn't know what it meant. They said, what is this rising from the dead? And again, you see in verse 32, they did not understand what he meant. And they were afraid to ask him about it. As Jesus went the way of the cross, his closest disciples did not encourage him. In fact, they would have greatly discouraged him. But we read in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verse 51, it says, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. You know that word, resolutely. He resolved. He was fixed. Literally it says, he set his face towards Jerusalem. He knew he must go the way of the cross. He was determined to save. That's Jesus' love for his people. Despite the discouragement from his own disciples, he was determined to save, to go to the death of the cross for his people. Now, if you're a Christian, that's how much Jesus loves you. Though people were trying to turn him away from the cross, he was fixed. He would lay down his life for you to make sure you got to heaven. Jesus is teaching again. There's no glory now. The glory comes at the resurrection. Well, Jesus' resurrection would be after 3 days. And so there's a little taste of glory. There's a sight of glory. We see something of the glory of Jesus. We know who he is. We've received the Holy Spirit. We received his promises and comfort. But the real glory comes at our resurrection at the last day. Have you understood this teaching? Is this your Christianity? Or we can pass round 100 shilling notes, 500 shilling notes, 1,000 shilling notes. But one day you might go and try and pay your taxes or your rent with them. And somebody will hold up to the light and they'll say, this is counterfeit. It's a fake. You can't be giving me this. pay you with something else. And you say, I have nothing else. This is all I've got. You've got to take this. And I say, I can't take this. It's not real. I've got nothing else. I say, I don't care if you've got nothing else. I'm not taking this. It's a counterfeit. Many people will present their Christianity at the door of heaven. And God will say, I can't take this. This is a counterfeit. Where's the death of my son? Where's the blood shed at Calvary as your only hope? You're bringing me your good works and your best efforts. I can't accept this. You can't come in with this. What's your Christianity? Where is Christ in it? Without Christ, it's a counterfeit. It's worthless. Sasa tu oni mistari athelethenina tatu and pakem athelethenina tano. Wali fika in Capernaum. This is the town where they were staying. Petro alikuwa na nyumba katika unti hu. You remember, we've been there before. They get to the place and they come into the house. And Jesus asked them a question. What were you discussing? What were you arguing about along the road? So he'd heard of something. He had been speaking about the cross. What had they been speaking about? Verse 34. They kept quiet. They kept quiet because they were arguing about who is the greatest. Jesus had spoken about suffering, about rejection, about pain, about death. They had spoken about their own greatness. They had spoken about having their glory now. What a grief many of Jesus' disciples are to him. Again and again, he speaks to them about going the way of the cross, about serving him through suffering, about serving him through difficulty. And it's soon forgotten. And their minds turn to how they can get their glory now. How they can eat their cake now. In this life, they're ashamed. But he knew. And verse 35 shows us that he knew, because he responds to them. Well, where are your thoughts as we speak about the death of Christ? Your thoughts back in the workshop, back on your land, back into how you can get your glory in this life. Or you're just forgetting what the teacher's saying because you think that Christianity ought to bring you your glory now. What do you talk about when you're fellowshipping with one another? Well, Jesus knew what they talked about. And he had a message for all of them. So verse 35, he sits down because he's taking care. They need to listen. He makes sure the whole 12 come to him because it's a message for all his disciples. And he says, if anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all. He now teaches them about true greatness. And the message is very simple. To get higher in God's kingdom, you must go lower. To be more in God's kingdom, you must become less. To become the first in God's kingdom, you must become the last. True greatness in the kingdom of God is found in service. The nearest to God are those who are the lowest and the humblest. To become servant of all. Who, the greatest leaders are not those who have most following them. It's those who are serving most people. Who are you serving in the kingdom of God? I said that the next two chapters say much about this. If you come into chapter 10 and look at verse 23. Chapter 10, verse 23. Jesus said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed at these words. Jesus said again, children, how hard it is for those who have riches to trust to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Because those who are looking for their glory now in this life, their heart is full of it, and there's no space left for seeking the glory of God. When you have your glory in this life, there are many rivals to take away your heart. So Jesus says it's almost impossible, though it is possible with God. If you come to chapter 10, verse 31, Jesus says, many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. If you come to chapter 10, verse 43, he says, amongst you, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. Out in the world, great people are served. If you become the president, you'll have houses in every major town of Kenya, and you'll have a car for every day of the week, and you'll have servants to fold your trousers, to do up your shirt, to brush your shoes. You'll have a servant for everything. But in the church, if you're great, you'll be the one doing all the serving. Because Jesus' kingdom is different. You'll find Christ's servants putting out the chairs and putting them away. You'll find Christ's servants mopping the floor afterwards. You'll find Christ's servants preparing the chai. You'll find Christ's servants out in visiting people's homes, visiting the poor, visiting the sick. You won't find them up there. You'll find them where you're not looking for them, quietly going around their business, serving. I want to read to you from the book of Philippians, chapter 2. Christ's servants are following Christ. Philippians chapter 2 verse 5 says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Who is Christ? Who, being in the very nature God, did not consider his equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature, the very form, the very shape of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Christ served even the lowest of his people by going to the cross. For every last one of them, he suffered that dreadful death. He suffered that condemnation for the smallest and most insignificant of his people. He served them even to the cross of Calvary. And therefore God exalted him to the highest place, gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every tongue should bow, every knee should bow, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every tongue in heaven and earth and under the earth, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus shows us the truth of this teaching. He's on the throne now. He's at the right hand of God, on God's throne in heaven, because he humbled himself to serve every one of God's people, even to death. And so now he has the highest place. Have you come, if you're a member of this church, have you come to serve? Have you come to give? Have you come to give yourself? We know in culture that there's this ladder, there's this hierarchy, and at the bottom, I suppose there's children and they're nothing in the culture, and then maybe there's single ladies, and once you get up the top, you're getting to the married men with many children who are politicians, and you know, everybody's got their place somewhere in this ladder, haven't they? But in the church, we're to serve. We're not to follow culture. We're not to wait for those who culture says are beneath us to get up and start serving. You're to humble yourself and to do the service. Who are you serving? That's the test of who you are in the kingdom. Who are you serving? What are you doing to serve others? I didn't ask, can we see you serving? Because we're not serving to be seen. But who are you serving? Where are your works of love? Who are you giving yourself to? Jesus gave himself for you to the cross. We read that before Jesus died on the last night, John chapter 13, that he took a towel, he took off his outer garment, and he washed his disciples' feet. Now in those days they didn't wear socks to keep their feet from all the dust. Not all of us wear socks. But their feet got dirty and sweaty and smelly. And it was one of the lowest jobs to wash the feet. But Jesus said, I've done this to set an example for you. You call me teacher and Lord, and that's right. And I am your teacher and Lord, but I've washed your feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. No servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. Do you think you're greater than Jesus? Jesus washed his disciples' feet. What do you refuse to do? What will you not do because it's beneath you? Because you're too important, your status is too high. Well, there was nothing of that kind for Jesus. Well, some of you are unconverted, you don't know Christ. You know, at least these disciples, they knew Jesus was a king. They knew that his kingdom was coming. And they were concerned to get their position in it when it came. They knew, though Jesus was low, yet one day he would come in glory. Do you even know that? Do you know Jesus is the King of Kings? And that his kingdom is the final kingdom? Do you know what he did on the cross so that you can enter that kingdom? Do you know the price he paid for sins, that everyone who believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life? Al sasa tuone mystery thirteenina sitana saba. Here we see an example, a picture of serving for Christ's sake. Here we see this teaching illustrated. He took a little child, and he brought the child into the middle. He took him in his arms and said, whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. In every culture, children are at the bottom, aren't they? They're not allowed to vote. If you have a meeting of the community, no children will be speaking. If you have any kind of meeting, children won't be leading it. Their opinions aren't asked or consulted. Because they're at the very bottom. And yet Jesus took one in his arms and said, welcome these little children in my name, and you welcome me. You get nothing when you serve children. They won't pay you. They can't give you something. They can't give you some advantage at work. They can't bring you a customer. Children can give you nothing. You can only give to them. But Jesus said, if you serve a child for my sake, then that's true service. It's true service when you serve knowing you'll receive nothing. And we find in the scriptures, it's not just children, but it's all the helpless and all the hopeless. James chapter 1 verse 27 says that pure and undefiled religion is this. That God accepts, to look after the orphans, to look after the widows in their distress, to keep yourself unpolluted from the world. Zaburi sitinina nani, Usema, in verse 5, that God is a father to the fatherless. God is a defender of the widows. God sets the lonely in families. Those who have no parents, those who have no provider, those who are poor and destitute, these people can give you nothing. But the Bible says the real mark of religion, the real mark of your faith, is that you give them something when you can receive nothing from them. That's true service. If you If you give to a friend, he may give back to you. If you give to some, if you have a meal and you invite somebody who has money, then the next time they have a meal, they may invite you back. But these kinds of people can give you nothing, and it's true service to serve them. God has a special love to children. Did you know that? God has a special love towards children. We read in Gospel of Matthew, it was read earlier. See, you do not look down on one of these little ones. For I tell you, their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. Jesus said, let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Did you know children? Children. Unasikia. Unajua kwamba. Yes, Yesu anapenda watoto. Yesu anapenda watoto wadogo. That's a special love for children. Anataka kwamba ufike wokovu. Anataka kwamba aseme hizambi zako. God wants children to be saved. Church is not just for adults. Church is for everyone, because everyone has sinned. And Jesus died for all kinds of people. So children, God wants you to be sorry for your sins. He wants you to ask Jesus to forgive you. And he says children have a special place in his kingdom. That's why we must give special prayer and special attention to our children's work. It's why the children's club and the Sunday school are very important. They're not just something for something on the side. They're not just something for those who can't do anything else. But it's important that we reach the children and serve the children, because that is the mind and heart of God, which we can see in these scriptures. And there's a great promise if we'll obey this teaching. Look at the promise in verse 37. Have you ever heard a promise like this one? If you welcome one of such little children in Christ's name, then you have welcomed Christ. And if you've welcomed Christ, you've not welcomed just Christ, but you've welcomed the Father himself. The Father himself sees the service given to children, and he will remember it, and he will reward it. In another place, Jesus said, when you serve the poor, they can't reward you, but you will receive a reward at the resurrection of the righteous. So it is with children. You serve children, they can't reward you. But God himself will be your God, and he will reward you. We receive Christ, and we receive the Father. So again, I ask you, do you have the true religion? Do you have real Christianity? Who are you serving? You serve only those who can repay you? Or do you serve those who can give to you nothing? In Kenya, how much opportunity do we have? How many people do we see who have nothing? And I know nobody in this church has nothing. Because I know we all have homes that we can use. We'll have clothes we can wear. Even the poorest of us eat enough to keep ourselves alive. Everybody in this church sees people who has less than them day by day. We see them on the streets, don't we? We see people sleeping in ditches. We see people who are missing arms and legs and who have open wounds. What do we do to serve people who have nothing? This, Christ says, is true greatness. Now if I ask, do you want to be great? These are my final questions. Do you want to be great? I think some people will say no. No, thank you. I'd like not to be great, because it involves the way of the cross. But if the answer is yes, I want to be great in Christ's kingdom, then you know what to do. Get serving. Find out how you can serve. Find out who you can serve. Find out how you can get lower and lower. And the lower you get, The further down you get, the more you'll meet Christ down there. You'll meet the one who went the way of the cross and is now raised, and you'll be raised with him to everlasting glory.